Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Before moving to Las Vegas, I was the pastor of a church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, called Forefront. And one day I was at work. I'm sitting there at my desk working. My wife called, and she said, "Hey, what are you doing today?" And I'm like, "Just working." She said, "What are you doing for lunch?" I answered, I'm going to Cece's. She asked, "Who are you going with?" I said, "By myself." She said, "Why?" And I could sense an incredulous tone in her voice. And so I explained, "Well, I'm going to bring my laptop and I'm just going to work there and just be there all afternoon." She said, "You're going to what?" I said, I'm going to bring my laptop to Cece's and I'm going to eat lunch and just kind of hang out there all afternoon. She said, "You're going to an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet for the entire afternoon. Are you planning on eating the entire afternoon?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You're not allowed to do that." I was like, "Of course you're allowed to do that. It's not all you can eat in an hour. It's all you can eat. You can eat as long as you want. It's all you can eat, period." She seemed frustrated. She said, "Well, even if you are allowed, don't you think there's something wrong with just sitting there and eating pizza all day?" I said, "I'm not going to be eating pizza all day. I'm going to be eating cinnamon rolls all day." Anyone ever had the cinnamon rolls at Cece's? Like, if you struggle with faith, they'll help you believe in God. Like, we should get together on Sundays and sing worship songs about the Cece's cinnamon rolls. We should be like, "God, you're awesome, because your cinnamon rolls at Cece's are so tasty. The tops are so glazy." I just made this up. But anyway, that's not what I said to her. I said, "Well, I'm doing it because I think I'm supposed to go. I feel like I'm supposed to be there." She said, "What? You do not feel like you're supposed to be there." I said, "No, I really do. Like, all morning, I just have this sense that I'm supposed to be at Cece's, and I don't know what time, so I'm just going to go there and hang out all day." She said, "No. It's because you want to eat pizza and cinnamon rolls all day today." I said, "No, I want to eat pizza and cinnamon rolls all day, every day. But I never have, and I probably never will again, but I think I'm supposed to be there today. I feel like God's telling me, so I'm going to go and I'm going to work there." We're in a series. Today we're concluding a series that we've been studying, learning about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us and within us, within people who have invited God into their lives. So in this series, we've asked, who is this Holy Spirit and what does the Holy Spirit do? And today, as we conclude our series, we're going to learn that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, guides us, prompts us. Now, you may question that. You might ask, does God really communicate with us? Like that Cece story, right? You might be like, "Come on, that was not God telling you to be there. God doesn't do that. That's just weird." I understand. But God does communicate with us. I mean, what kind of God would he be if he couldn't? Right? He would not be much of a God if he was unable to communicate with us. And the whole point of Christianity, really the whole point of life, is to have a relationship with God. We know that relationships are based on communication. What kind of relationship would it be with God if we could talk to him, but he couldn't talk to us? God does communicate. We just need to believe that he does, and we need to be listening. The Bible gives us this idea that when God speaks to us, it's usually in a whisper. He whispers it, and so we need to be still. We need to eliminate distractions. We need to invite God to speak, and we need to listen. There's a kid in the Bible named Samuel, and he's taught to pray this prayer that I like. He's taught to pray, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I've heard that it said that the way to be open to God's voice is stillness on the outside, surrender on the inside. Stillness on the outside, surrender on the inside. So it's like I'm quiet and I'm listening on the outside. I'm ready to do whatever God asks on the inside. And if we do that, he will communicate with us. And when he does, God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit will speak to us in different ways. One way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is through the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired what we have for us today in the Bible. We're told that in several places, including 1 Corinthians, which is one of the books of the Bible, chapter 2, verse 13. This writer of the Bible says, "We do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit." So humans wrote the Bible, but it was God who gave them the words to write down for us to read. The Holy Spirit not only wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what's in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians, same chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. "No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." So the idea is, like, you know what you think better than anyone else, right? Like you've probably had somebody at some point in your life say, "I know what you're thinking." And you're like, "No, I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking." And in the same way, God knows what God's thinking better than anyone else knows what God's thinking. And so, to help us, God put God in us. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we can better understand what he's thinking. God's inside us to help us understand God's thoughts and God's words. And the Holy Spirit will speak directly to us through what's written to us in the Bible. When I say that, what I mean is, if you read the Bible and you kind of have that "speak, Lord, your servant is listening" kind of attitude, it's not just that what you read will be good information. It is good information. It's not just that you'll learn about God. You will learn about God. But I'm saying that the Holy Spirit will personalize what you read so that it's like you feel like God is speaking directly to you. Like you'll read and think things like, "Well, that's exactly what I needed to hear today." Or, "That's exactly the answer to the question that I've been wrestling with." So the Holy Spirit speaks to us, prompts us, guides us through the Bible, which means we need to consistently be reading the Bible. There's barely anything better we could do for ourselves than to consistently read the Bible. At Verve, we have tried to make that as easy as possible. Some people are like, "I don't have a Bible." We give out Bibles for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. We'd love to give you a free Bible today. Some people say, I wouldn't know what to read in the Bible. We give you a reading plan. You don't have to do it, but if you don't know what to read, every day there'll be one chapter to read. I'm going to guess that might take you 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes. It's not going to take an hour, okay? And so you read that chapter, and then also every day we put up a post, a blog post on vervecatalyst.org, and it gives you background information on that chapter that you read that day and questions to help you apply it to yourself. You might say, "Okay, that's all good, but I'll just forget." If you subscribe at vervecatalyst.org, you'll get an email every day that says, "Hey, remember to read the Bible. Today your chapter is." Tomorrow it will say Matthew chapter 1. Tomorrow is an if you're like, I don't have that habit of reading the Bible every day, tomorrow's the perfect day to start. Matthew is a book that tells all about Jesus' life. It is a great place to start in the Bible. And tomorrow our reading plan starts with Matthew chapter 1. And so if you don't read the Bible, I would encourage you, get out your phone right now. Like, you can do that here at church. Go to vervecatalyst.org. In that top right, put in your email address. You're not going to start getting spams and requests for money or anything like that. You will get every single day an email saying, "Hey, today's reading is this. Here's some notes. Here's some questions." Man, nothing better you could do for yourself. All right. Another way that the Bible, or that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is through other people. Not only through the Bible, but also sometimes through other people. Sometimes we need to hear something, and maybe it's that we're not listening to God. Maybe we're not reading the Bible. I don't know. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will use someone else to tell us what God wants to say to us. There's an example of this in the Bible when a guy named David sins in a really big, dramatic way. But he doesn't admit it, doesn't confess it, doesn't apologize. He just keeps living his life like nothing's happened. And God needs him to understand what he's done. And so God sends a friend of David's named Nathan to him to tell him. And it totally works. And that's totally worked in my life. I've had times, quite a few times, where someone told me something and it was like, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And I think that was God, through the Holy Spirit, giving them the words to say to me. One question people ask at this point is, how do you know? Right? Like if somebody says something to you, it might just be their advice. It might even be bad advice, or it might be God's word to you. How do you know which it is? One way you know is by knowing the Bible. If you start reading the Bible consistently, you just start knowing how God thinks, what God says, and so you can evaluate what your friend is telling you compared to what the Bible says, and you'll be like, yep, that is what God says, or no, that's not, that contradicts the kind of thing God says, and you'll know. A third way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, not just through the Bible and other people, but also through what we could call promptings, nudges. God promises that he will guide us. Check out Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. God says, it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So it says, if we're willing to do what God shows us to do, then he will show us what to do. If the truth is we're not willing to do what God chose us to do, what's the point of him even showing us? So the idea of promptings is that the Holy Spirit will like bring thoughts to your mind. He'll bring impressions. He'll bring a sense of direction. Like you'll just have a thought like, man, I feel like I need to apologize to that person. Or I think I'm supposed to volunteer for that. Or I don't know why, but I've been thinking about this person. I feel like I should give them a call. Or maybe this isn't the best idea. Or I should buy Vince Dodger playoff tickets. Any of those could be God, especially that last one. That could be God. About 15 years ago, my wife and I lived back in Virginia, like I mentioned, and we were looking for a house to buy. We had a certain budget. We wanted to spend this much, and my wife fell in love with this house. It was way better than what we were expecting to find. It cost more than we were planning on spending, but we could afford it, like barely. It was like more than we could afford, but we could do it barely. But she loved it, so we're like, all right, we're going to do it. And we went in to sign the contract. Like we had done everything else. It was like, sign it and move in. We sat down at the desk, real estate agent, my wife, me. They put the papers in front of us, gave us a pen, and I just felt sick. Like something came over me. I had this overwhelming sense, do not buy this house. You're not supposed to buy this house. And I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, could we talk for a second outside before we sign these? And she was like, sure. And we went outside, and I said, I don't think we're supposed to buy the house. I am so sorry. I don't think we're supposed to buy the house. She was upset. She said, why don't you think we're supposed to buy the house? I said, I don't know. I just have this sense. I think it's God. I don't know. I think God's telling me we're not supposed to buy this house. She said, are you sure it's God? I'm like, no, I'm not sure. How can I be sure? I think it. She said, okay. I'm going to trust you if you think that's God, but what are we supposed to tell the real estate agents? I said, that's your problem, and ran away. I did not really do that. I was like, I don't know. You figure it out. But looking back now, 15 years later, I mean, it was such a devastating day. And it was like, why didn't we buy that house? It is so obvious. Ask her. She will tell you it would have been a huge mistake for this reason. Like looking back, it was like, that would have been a huge mistake. It's like God protected us. He took care of us that day through the Holy Spirit's prompting. Again, the question people always ask at this point is, how do you know if it's the Holy Spirit? Like with somebody else, it's like, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit, not just the other person? With this, it's like, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit, not just yourself? How do you know it's just not like your thinking, your thought? Answer, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not totally sure, but here's what I do. I ask the question, when I have a thought, I ask, does that seem like God? Does that sound like something God would say? Like what I'm feeling prompted to do, call this person, don't buy the house, help this person, is it the kind of thing that God would probably prompt me to do? Like I ask, is it loving? Is it humble? Is it compassionate? Does it lead me to serve other people instead of myself? Does it lead me to make peace with someone or between people? Does it lead me to be more generous? If so, probably God, and I'm probably not going to make a mistake thinking it is. If not, probably not God. Another thing I found this may encourage you is that the longer you're a follower of Jesus, and we get lots of people here who are not followers of Jesus, you're like, I'm checking things out, but I don't know if I believe this. Thank you for being here today. Like, you have found a safe place to investigate faith. We get a lot of other people. We had 12 people last week who said, I want to follow Jesus for the first time. So we get a lot of people who are new to this. The longer you follow Jesus, the longer you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, the more you'll just kind of know. You'll just have a feeling like, that's the Holy Spirit. Or, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. Which makes sense. That's the way all relationships work, right? Like between people. So years ago, my wife and I were just like pretty newly dating. We were at lunch with this older couple. I was talking and talking, and all of a sudden, she kicked me under the table. So I said, hey, why did you kick me under the table? She said, they weren't supposed to know that I kicked you under. That was supposed to just be between us. You weren't supposed to announce that I kicked you under the table. I was like, I didn't know. Why'd you kick me under the table? Well, it turns out that I had been talking too much, according to her. She's probably right. And she had been like trying to give me looks, and I hadn't read any of them. I had no idea. And finally, she kicked me under the table. That was like 20-some years ago. We've been married now for over 20 years. Now, we can be across a crowded room. There can be all kinds of people. She can give me half a look, and I know exactly what it means. I'm like, got it, right? Back then, we were new with each other. Like, I didn't get anything. She had to kick me. Today, half a look, got it, right? And it's similar with the Holy Spirit. The longer you follow Jesus, the more you try to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to be like, got it, I know. So, what have we learned so far? God does communicate with us. He does it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can speak to us in different ways, through the Bible, through other people, through silent promptings or nudges. Okay, so the Holy Spirit will speak to us, but what might he say? First, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what you already know. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you already know. Jesus taught that quite emphatically. John chapter 14, he says, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come to live inside of you, and what he will do is lead you into truth. And then look a few verses later, he says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He says the Holy Spirit will remind you what God has already told you. That is yet another reason to consistently read the Bible. Because the more you know the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit has to remind you of. The more that you've read, the more he can remind you of verses that you've read. And you're like, oh yeah, another reason, right? And so the Holy Spirit will remind you of what you already know. Years ago, I was at a pastor's conference in New Mexico, and one night they gave everybody an extended prayer time, like a silent time just to pray. And so I was praying, and something led me to ask God a question. I was just thinking about my story, just the bizarre way that I became a Christian. I grew up in a completely non-Christian, non-church family. No one ever talked to me about Jesus my whole life. I became a Christian on my own. It was like kind of a divine intervention, weird story. And I was just thinking about it. It was like God just grabbed me in my life. And I asked God, I'm like, why did you do that? Well, like, doesn't seem like that happens for everybody. Like, is there some big thing I'm supposed to do with my life? Like, do you have some plan I need to do? Like, that's why you needed me or something. I asked that question, and I was just quiet, and then I heard a voice, not out loud. I've never heard a voice out loud, but it was like in my heart, and the voice said, you are enough. It was like God was telling me, I love you. I saved you because I wanted you. You're enough. It's not about what you do for me. I want a relationship with you. Now, is that really God? I think so. First, because that is not what I thought the answer to that question was. Like, that's not how I would answer that question. Second, and even more importantly, because that's what God says in the Bible. God was just, the Holy Spirit was reminding me of what the Bible already says. And so it's like, I don't have to wonder, would God say something like that? Yeah, he does. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit reminds us of what we already know. And I think I heard the Holy Spirit that night because I was still enough and quiet enough to listen. So the Holy Spirit will remind you of what you already know. The Holy Spirit will also convict you of sin. Jesus said that too. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said in John 16:8, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin. So the deal is that when we sin, it doesn't just break God's rules. That's what we think, right? It's like, I know, you sin, you're breaking God's rules. It doesn't just break God's rules, it breaks God's heart. And it breaks God's heart because he loves us. He loves us so much. And when we choose to sin, we are choosing to live less than lives. It hurts us. It hurts other people. And so God very much wants to steer us away from sin because he loves us so much. And so the Holy Spirit is in our lives to convict us of sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's based on love, and it does not lead to fear. You're like, yeah, that's why I'm so scared of God. That is not God, okay? The Bible says that. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, which is what God has for you, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So because of God's love for us, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, doesn't lead to fear. Okay, question again. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit, right? Again, like, so if I have a sense of that, of like feeling bad about something, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Here's how. The Holy Spirit convicts us. He does not condemn us. He convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. Condemnation never comes from God. Bible says that several different places. Here's one of them, John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So what's the difference between condemnation and conviction? Condemnation is when you feel overwhelmed by feelings of guilt that are not traceable to a specific sin. Condemnation is when you just feel bad about yourself. Okay? That's condemnation. God doesn't do that. That's not helpful. Conviction is when you feel bad and you can trace it to something very specific that you have done. When it's the Holy Spirit, it's always specific. He will reveal a sinful action or a sinful attitude and then focus on correction. The point of it is not to make you feel bad. So the Holy Spirit won't focus so much on the problem, but more on the solution. Let me give you a couple examples, and I think this will make sense. So, if you have a feeling of, you are such a failure as a parent, how does that help you? It doesn't, right? That is not God. What God would do, the Holy Spirit would be more like this. Hey, you were very critical when you spoke to your kid. You should say you're sorry. You should ask for forgiveness. You should say something to build them up. That would be something the Holy Spirit would use. You see the difference there, right? Big difference. It will not be if you have a feeling like you always let everyone down. That doesn't help you, right? That's not God. It'd be something more like you didn't keep your promise to your mom, and you need to call her, and you need to apologize, and you need to make it right. That'd be the Holy Spirit. If you have a feeling like you're such a hypocrite, you're such a hypocrite, not God. That's condemnation, right? It would be something more like, hey, you judge other people who gossip, but at work when you talk about your neighbor, that's gossip. You need to stop. That's what the Holy Spirit would do. Okay, so the Holy Spirit reminds you of what you already know, convicts you of sin, and also leads you to tell other people about Jesus. Leads you to tell other people about Jesus. That is the main mission that we've been given. If you're a Christian, your main mission is to help everyone know about Jesus. Like once you know Jesus, the main mission, your main purpose in life for the rest of your life is to help everyone know Jesus. Okay, so knowing Jesus, believing in Jesus is how people get into a relationship with God. It's how they get into heaven. Nothing is more important to God than that. Nothing's remotely close to as important to God as that. That's why it's the mission he's given us, and that's why God wants to help us with that. God doesn't go, here's this enormous mission. Good luck. I wonder if you can do it. And no, God says, hey, I'm going to help you. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll move inside of you and partner with you in your mission. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you read the stories about the first Christians, which are in the Bible, the most obvious impact that the Holy Spirit has on their lives is that he leads them to tell people about Jesus. So what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of Christians after Jesus' resurrection. Before that happens, the Christians are terrified. They're afraid to talk about Jesus. Maybe you can relate to that. It can feel kind of awkward to talk to people about Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of these Christians after Jesus' resurrection, and everything changes. And suddenly, they're bold, they're out sharing Jesus with everyone. Like a day ago, they were scared to death, wouldn't talk about Jesus anywhere. Now, they're like out in the cities, they're telling everyone. And we get to see this in a Bible book called Acts, which tells us about the lives of these early Christians. And what we see is this theme throughout the book of Acts is they pray, give us the Holy Spirit so we can be bold about sharing Jesus. And then they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're bold about telling people about Jesus. I'll give you one example. So in Acts chapter 4, we see two of the early Christians, Peter and John, and they're arrested. They're arrested because they had helped this crippled guy and then told him about Jesus. And it was illegal to talk about Jesus. You could not talk about Jesus. And so they're brought to trial. And look what Peter says in his defense at his trial. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Then Peter, check this, filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so whatever happens next, the Holy Spirit's driving this, right? Said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council, like the judges, were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Now, I think a lot of us would say that it takes some courage to tell people about Jesus. But part of our struggle, I think, is that we don't feel qualified. Peter and John were teaching in the temple, the Jewish temple. They were not qualified. They were just, it says, ordinary people. I think there's something more convincing about ordinary people. It's more believable when you're like, this is an ordinary person whose life has been changed, right? This is an ordinary person. And they were just bold about it. 2 Timothy, another book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 8, says to us, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. I bet most of us would probably say that we're not ashamed, but we're also not very courageous. Like, I'm not ashamed, but I'm not courageous. Exactly. That's why God put the Holy Spirit inside of you, so that you could be bold. So after Peter gives his bold speech, the leaders release Peter and John. They beat them up a little bit, and they release them, and they tell them, if you speak any more about Jesus, we will punish you. And already they had killed Christians. We saw it a couple weeks ago, a guy named Stephen. And so Peter and John know, if we do this anymore, we're going to get beaten, thrown in jail, probably killed. And so the next scene, we're going to look at all the Christians get together after Peter and John are released, and they pray. And what do you think they pray for? Probably protection, right? Like, they're getting threatened that they're going to get killed. They probably pray, please, God, don't let them hurt us or kill us, right? Nah. Check out what they pray, verse 29. They pray, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. They're like, God, this is scary, and we are not going to stop talking about Jesus, so fill us with courage because we have to let everyone know about Jesus. And look how God answers that prayer, verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word with boldness. How about you? Like, do you realize, do you understand that your main mission, your purpose is to help everyone know Jesus? There's nothing more important to God than that. And you know that that's the main reason you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit will direct you to people who need Jesus and will give you the courage, the boldness to compassionately, lovingly share Jesus with them. The Holy Spirit will guide you to those people, give you the courage to do it. And that brings us back to CC's. So you remember, all morning I felt like I was supposed to be at CC's. I told my wife, I'm supposed to be there. She said, no, you're not. You just want to eat cinnamon rolls. I'm like, I think I'm supposed to be there. So I brought my computer, and I ate my lunch. I got out my computer, and I start working on my computer. And I think I was probably eating my 82nd cinnamon roll as I'm working. And I looked over, and I noticed, like, a couple times that there was this girl who was, like, checking me out. I was probably, like, I don't know, 39. She was, like, probably 25. And she just kept looking at me. Now, being this good-looking and this sexy, you probably think, well, you have girls checking you out all the time. Not all the time. Yeah, not all the time. So I was a little bit surprised. I'm like, she keeps looking at me. She's totally checking me out. And I thought, like, as I looked at her, I thought, I still got it. As I wiped out some of the cinnamon roll icing that had gotten in my eyebrow, it kind of gotten stuck in there. I kind of wiped it out. And then I realized, oh, she is walking over to talk to me. And I thought, poor thing, she is going to be devastated when she finds out I'm married. As I blotted out some of the pizza sauce that had, a piece of pizza had fallen on my shirt. And she walked right up to my table and she said, do I know you? And I said, nope. She said, are you sure? I said, have you ever been to Forefront Church? Because if so, you would have seen me speak there. I'm the pastor there. She said, no, I don't go to church. Well, I used to when I was a kid. I haven't been in years. You know, it's funny that you mentioned church because I've been thinking maybe I need to start going again. See, my husband left me and my daughter over there, and I don't know what to do. And so we moved back here to Virginia Beach. This is where I grew up. I don't know what to do. And I've been thinking, maybe church. I wouldn't know where to go. And I don't know. I could swear I know you. Are you sure I don't know you? And I said, nope. Actually, I mumbled nope because I had cinnamon roll in my mouth. And she hesitated for a minute. She just kind of stood there and she said, please don't think I'm weird. You're going to think I'm weird. But the whole time, like since I walked in, I looked at you and I felt like I was supposed to come over here and talk to you. And I don't know why. I assumed, oh, I must know him, but I don't know you. Like, why do you think had this feeling that I was here to talk to you? I took a deep breath and I said, please don't think I'm weird. But do you think maybe that was God? Well, like, you feel like you're supposed to talk to this guy. Turns out this guy's a pastor. You've been feeling like you're supposed to go to church, and this guy happens to be the pastor of a church. And we proceeded to have the coolest conversation about her life and about Jesus. Why did it happen? Because I was listening to God and not my wife. That's why, right? It happened. It's true. It happened because the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit guides us, prompts us if we're listening. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Bible, through other people, through silent promptings, nudges. He'll remind you of what you already know. He will convict you of sin because he loves you. And most of all, he will lead you to tell other people about Jesus. I said earlier, I think one of the reasons we don't hear God speak to us is because we're just not listening, because there's just too much noise, too many distractions. I want to teach you a way that you can listen for God's voice. It's not like this is the way, it's just a way. It's kind of a cool thing. It's something that was invented by the Quakers. I always thought they only invented oatmeal, and then I found out, oh man, they actually invented something else. They call it hands up, hands down. If you've been coming for years, you might be like, you taught us this like 5 years ago. I think it should be called palms up, palms down, but I'm not a Quaker, so I don't get to name it. So here's what you do. You sit down in a quiet place, and you put your hands out, palms down, okay? And in that moment, you just take a minute to mentally put down, lay down whatever's weighing on you, whatever burdens you've been carrying, all the distractions. You just kind of, you breathe it all out and you just kind of like give it to God, lay it down, okay? Then when you feel more calm, more centered, you turn your palms up. And it's like this gesture of like you're ready to receive him, to take God in, to take in his love for you, and to listen. So you just kind of try to breathe God in. You might pray that prayer that boy Samuel was taught. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then you just listen for a minute, two, five. Another question. What if you don't hear anything? Like, what if you do that and you don't hear anything? That's okay. I've done this many times. Most of them, I haven't heard anything. There's been a few times where I felt the Holy Spirit kind of nudged me, kind of brought something to mind, reminded me of something, but many times I haven't heard anything. If you don't hear anything, what that means is you spent some quiet time with God. That's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. And so you try this at home, maybe in the morning, kind of before you get busy. You know what? Let's just take a minute. This will be like a quick version. We'll do it together it'll be easier for you to remember if you want to do this on your own, okay? So we'll bring the lights down a little bit. It's not going to get weird or anything. This isn't where we pick your pockets. And so we're just going to do kind of a quick version. So I'm going to say palms down, and then I'm going to give you a minute to just kind of breathe out what's burdening you, just give to God all of the stress, and then I'm going to say palms up and give you a quiet minute. And just to receive God's love, to listen for his voice, and then after a minute, I'll pray to kind of conclude our time, okay? So, palms down. And if you're ready, palms up. God, thanks for loving us, and that wasn't very much time, but thanks that we can choose to be silent and to get rid of the distractions and listen, and thank you that you're a God who loves us so much, you promise to speak to us. What you're looking for with us is a relationship, so thank you that we have access to, we get to communicate with this God of the universe who loves us very personally. God, would you give us a spirit of that prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Help us to have stillness on the outside, surrender on the inside, ready to do whatever it is you're telling us to do. God, thanks for this, for your Holy Spirit. Thanks for this series we've had to learn about his presence in our lives. And I pray all this through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.